In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On this, as on almost every Ash Wednesday, I'm struck by the disconnect between the gospel reading and what we're doing here. You know, if you're fasting, wash your face. I'm going to impose ashes on your foreheads. But we don't do that to show our piety. Having a cross made of ash on your forehead does not make you a good person. And we don't really do it for the sake of having ashes. The ashes are a sign of what we're doing here. We're starting our Lenten observance. Now, there's a lot to that. In one sense, we're emulating our Lord Christ. After his baptism, the Holy Spirit, we're told in Scripture, drove him into the wilderness, and he spent 40 days fasting, to the point where, at the end of that time, Satan came to him and could tempt him with turning rocks into bread. Something I have no doubt that the Creator of the universe could do if he so chose, but he said, no, that's not what I'm here for. The signs and the miracles that our Lord did were not showy. They were not outside the realm of the natural. Turning stones into bread is not natural. Healing, though, happens. Healing is built into God's creation. Our Lord would speed it along, perhaps, make it possible where humans could not, but still it's something that God does. When he took loaves and fishes and fed thousands of people, that's still what happens. Fish make other fish, and they feed more people. What Jesus did, what makes it miraculous, is that he does on a very small scale of time what happens quite often, and we just think of it as natural. Grapes all the time turn water into wine, and we think nothing of it. But then that's kind of the problem. We should recognize the miraculous in the mundane. As Episcopalians, we have a sacramental view of the world. Everything points to God because God created everything. We can see the hand of God going on all the time if we want to. If we're willing to look at it and see the miraculous as it takes place, whether it be wine growing from grapes or flowers growing in a field or the birth of a baby or whatever it is, all things come from God, and we can see God in them if we look. So even in ashes, we can see God. But even though we are but dust, as we read in the psalm, even though from ashes we come and to ashes we go, this transient life of ours, still there is more. It still points to the glory and majesty of God, who has made possible through Jesus Christ for us to live forever with him. When we shuffle off this mortal coil, when we become one with God in heaven, when we are able to join in the life of God for eternity. The ashes are a reminder that there's way more than just this. Now, granted, a lot of times this is pretty nice. Most of us have pretty good lives, I'm glad to say. Thanks be to God. And we're not wrong to enjoy the good things that God has given us. But we want to keep it in perspective and to remember that there are those who do not have the benefits that we do, that those that we can help through our abundance, those that live lives much more difficult than ours. And the ashes are a reminder of that also, that we are called together to be one body in Christ, that Christ's church, although seemingly divided on the surface, is united by the ideas of Jesus Christ and his salvation for the world, that surface appearances are not true to the deeper reality, but points to the truth. Our God created the universe, and his handiwork is seen there as surely as the brushstrokes of a master painter. Those who are trained in such things can tell who painted a picture just by looking at how those little marks appear. We too should dedicate our lives to looking for the brushstrokes of God in God's creation, to be on the search for those things that point to God, not to overlook them because we think them merely mundane, ordinary, of no account. And what is true of God's creation is even more true of God's people. Too often, we're all too willing to overlook the ordinary and the mundane around us. But may God grant us the grace to realize that we are all created in the image and likeness of God. That just as surely as God loves us as miserable sinners, He loves others as well. That we are all called to be God's children. That God's dream for His creation is that we be joined together in Christ, to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. As Christ said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And so our ashes are a reminder of our own mortality. They're a reminder of the troubles that exist in the world. And so we wear them proudly, not because we're such great people, but because God has given us such a great task to do, to follow Him, and then makes that possible. To follow Christ is no small thing, and we cannot do it alone. But God has given us each other and His Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us. We come to His altar and eat the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it may strengthen us to go into the world to do His will, to be part of the transformation of all creation that God desires, to bring all into the embrace of our Lord. When our Lord Christ stretched out His arms upon the cross, it was to embrace the world, to bring us all in. And we seek to answer that call. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.